ended with this thought last week, and I wanted to put it back on the screen for you, that God has blessed me with more than I need so that I can do what? Let's say that together. So that I can make a difference. You know, I don't know, every time I see the little intro thing we rolled there, and where they reverse the wording, they read it and then reverse it, it gets to me. Because I think there's a lot of us that say the same thing. We say things about ourselves. We think that I can make a difference is a lie. And we buy into what the devil is selling us. You see, God has blessed me and you with more than we need so you can make a difference in the life of others. Here's the other thing. God doesn't want you to feel guilty about having stuff. There's nothing wrong with you having things. The problem comes when they come before God and they're not used for God. God simply wants us to be responsible, good stewards with our stuff. So for today, we're going to look at the last of the verses in Timothy there. I'm going to read it all to you and we'll stop in verse 19. And I want to show you something that I hope will close this series out with something you can take away today. Let's read in 1 Timothy 6. It says, command those who are rich. Now I want you to stop thinking. When we read this verse, if you're like me, you still think, not me. Does anybody, when I say the word rich, go, ooh, that's me? See, you're wrong. We ought to all be throwing our hands up. Command those who are rich. Rich simply means you have more than you need. If you wake up and there's food in the refrigerator, you have more than you need. If there's 50 cents in your bank account and your bills are paid, that's more than you need. Let's redefine what it means in our earthly terms to be rich. Rich in this present world, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. Verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to what? Be generous. Give and be generous. Give and be generous. Be willing to do stuff, good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. Let me ask you a question before we go on there. What is Paul talking about when he says this present world? This present world says to me that he's understanding there's another world. There's another life. One of the versions says this present life. If there wasn't something else, then why would Paul say that? What other world is he talking about? Well, see, Paul understood something a lot of us, even as Americans, it's worse, but for the church in general, we don't really think about it, that Paul understood that his motivation has always been eternity. Paul's life was never about the life here on earth. Matter of fact, Paul was the one who said, listen, if I die and go to heaven, that's going to be what? Good for me. But I'm going to choose to stay here on the earth because I realize that you guys, the world, needs to be prepared for heaven. He understood there's more to life on this earth than just life on this earth. And he tells us in verse 19 that we need to change our thinking. And here's what we need to change it to. Look at verse 19. It says, in this way, in other words, do this. This is what they would do. They're going to lay up treasure for themselves, a firm foundation for the coming age. In other words, I heard somebody put it this way, and I really liked it. When we're giving and generous here, when we give and be rich in deeds and in our time and sowing into people's lives, I truly believe we're transferring it to heaven. We're setting up in heaven. The Bible says here, in this way, you're going to lay up for themselves a treasure, a firm foundation. The coming age is eternity. And then he tags us on there, and I love the way this reads. So that they may take hold of what? What that is truly life. You see, the Bible's very clear that our time here on earth, you can live to be 100 years old. And the Bible's very clear that time here is a vapor. It's a mist. It's gone in the light of eternity. But we don't live that way. Most of us don't live every day thinking about my life is just going to pass by real fast and I'm going to spend eternity. We're thinking about what I've got to do tomorrow, what I've got to work tomorrow, the bills I got to pay, the things that maybe you're going back to school, the test you got to take, the paper you got to write. We're just thinking about these earthly things. But see, when you give, you're generous on earth. I believe it's building that foundation for eternity. I think what Paul and Jesus both said to us, you need to live this life in preparation for what? For the next. for the rest of your life. What the Bible says, what Paul says, is truly life. I said this last week, and I had some questions about it, so I wanted to touch on it real quick because I truly believe this. I believe the church in general, especially churches like ours. Now, don't get me wrong. I love video. I love being able to show you multimedia stuff. I love the social media. I think it adds another layer to our experience with God and being able to show people who God is. But I truly believe that we are creating givers and training us to be solely emotional and spontaneous givers. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with a spontaneous move of, ooh, I want to help that person. I see a need, I meet it. That's what we teach you to do. But when your giving is solely emotional by seeing the hungry kid or seeing something on TV or it's even your spending, that's how they get you in Christmas time, right? They get you emotional about something. I laugh every year about the commercials that come on this time of year with like $60,000, $70,000 Mercedes-Benz with a big red bow on it. I'm like, where do those people live? And we all get emotional. Oh, that's so sweet. He bought his wife a car. And then I want to do that. I want my husband or my wife to buy me a car. And we're not even thinking that car costs more than we make in the entire year. Or maybe many years. Why? Because we get emotionally caught up in it and we get spontaneous to go do something or spend it. Well, the same is true. We're teaching Christians to do that. And I just think that's not the way the Bible teaches. We read last week that the Bible is very clear to say you need to give according to what you have purposed in your heart. I said this last week. You can't give what's not yours. I can't borrow somebody's car and then feel led to give it to somebody else. It's not mine. The Bible says that we give accordingly to what we've decided. So last week I gave you my whys. Why Melanie and I give and why we do what we do. But today I want to give you a strategy. And a strategy is simply planned and intentional use of something. So I want to ask your question, what's your strategy? This is the first blank on your sheet. Do you have a strategy? And I'm not going to go all, I'm going to give you the biblical basis for this, but I want to give you some strategies, biblical strategies for how I believe the Bible tells us to give. Because I think we've got it all wrong. In business, they have a business plan, and that plan is, here's our plan strategy for how we're going to invest, what we're going to sell, how we're going to grow this company. Every company that's worth anything has a strategy. Walmart has a strategy. If you've ever dealt with anybody who has done business with Walmart, Walmart does not mess around. They know exactly what they'll buy your stuff from you for, and then what they can sell it, and they won't budge on it. They have a very, very hard, fast strategy. So if this life is a vapor, and we're supposed to be focused on heaven, helping people take their one step. We talked last week, I used the word leverage. That's getting the most return for the money that we give, the time that we sow. Then we need a strategy. And this is mine. I'm just going to tell you my strategy. Again, I gave you the whys last time. I'm going to give you my strategy this time. And it may not necessarily be exactly your strategy. Mainly because you don't need me to tell you how to spend your money. I thought somebody in the crowd would say amen when the preacher says that. You don't need me to tell you how to spend your money. You've got the Holy Spirit within inside of you. That's between you and God. You ask Him, and I promise you, He will speak to you, and He'll put in your heart what He wants you to do. He wants you to tithe. He wants you to be obedient. He'll give you those things. So you're able to hear God. So I'm going to give you what is your strategy. The first one is, I will intentionally share my resources. I'm going to intentionally share my resources. Resources is not just money. Resources is all my stuff. About, I guess, 2 years ago now, Melanie and I put up a privacy fence around our yard for our dog and kids. And if you've ever put up a privacy fence, me and post hole diggers just don't get along. And so I found on Amazon one of those miracle buys. They were selling a little weed eater engine with an auger to it, so you could just drill the holes down in the ground. Made life so much easier for me. And we put all of our fence up, and then the word got out that I have one, and now everybody's going to want it. So if you want to borrow it, please let me know. And the word got out, and people started knocking on my door. Hey, I hear you have that thing that digs holes. I got to dig some holes, and I don't like post hole diggers either. And I'll just be honest with you. When it comes to my stuff, my physical stuff, it hurts to let stuff walk out the door. Because I know folks, and it don't come back. Right? Anybody else? The rest of y'all, the ones who aren't raising their hand, are the ones that's got all y'all stuff. But so here I am with my resources, and I finally just realized, you know what? God's blessed me with this. If you need to go dig a hole, here, go dig a hole. Go use it. Bring it back, but use it. And I begin to realize that my resources are more than just finances. See, the question again is, can you leverage what you have to bless people and help them take their one step? But it doesn't happen unless you're intentional. Look what the Bible says. This is the verse where we talk about deciding ahead of time in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2, or 16, verse 2. It says, on the day that each day, the first day of the week, you should each, that means all of us, put aside of the portion of the money you had earned. See, why? He's telling, listen, you make your decision ahead of time. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to be generous. And I'm going to take a portion of my blessing of what God's made me rich, and I'm going to sow it into the church. I'm going to sow it into somebody's life. I'm going to do something with it. It's an intentional. But I'm going to give you two ways. I think there's two simple ways we can walk this out. The first one is, we said last week, we started to call it percentage giving. And the God started out with a simple percentage. It's a tithe. A tithe is 10%. 10% is not hard to figure. One of the sad things I learned last week as I was researching this is that for Christians, as our finances increase, our percentage decreases. Because if your percentage doesn't, if you're not, it, as we get in, where God's given us more, we're doing less. And it's just sad. That's the heart of a lot of Christians. So this percentage giving is not about equal amounts, but equal sacrifice. What you give and what I give may be two completely different things, but what God's looking at is your heart, the joy of what we're doing. Amount is not an issue with God. It's a heart issue. It's an obedience issue that you pre-decided. I've decided in my heart to give. The second way is just acts of kindness. It's the reason we have these in the foyer and the reason we do these acts of kindness cards during Thanksgiving and now through Christmas. Don't stop. The greeters will be out there on your way out. You can pick some more up if you've used them. To do something for somebody, to buy their groceries in line, to go through the drive-thru and buy the meal behind you. Today when you go to a restaurant, instead of just leaving a goofy little, if you do this, I'm going to pop you on the hand a minute. Please never ever leave those stupid little tracks that look like $20. And you open it up and it's a Bible track inside. Those don't help. Those just make people angry. And if you're a waiter or a waitress, as I have been, and you get one of those, it makes you want to punch somebody. This doesn't spread Jesus, it spreads anger. You want to bless somebody today? Take your server who's already working three jobs to make ends meet to feed her kids, and when your ticket's $30, leave her $30 on top of it, and then leave her one of these cards. That'll help change your life. Not a track that looks like a $20 bill. That's just mean. There's no grace or mercy in that. That's just mean. Sorry, I'll get off my soapbox. If you did that, I forgive you, but don't do it again. So that you use these act of kindness cards. Just do something for somebody. Be intentional about it. I keep them in my wallet. I've got two or three I keep in my wallet so that as I have opportunity, as God presents me the opportunity, I can act. And sometimes it just may be, you may not be able to do it all, secretive and walk away. Sometimes you may have to be intentional and just step up and go, hey, I just felt like I wanted to bless you and pray for your groceries. Here's the money for your groceries and give them a card. That's all you have to say. We've set this up so that you can do this. So it's percentage giving, it's tithing, and it's just be kind. Be intentional with your resources. The second thing that I've decided, and I know Melanie has as well, is that I will be intentional. I will intentionally share my time. See, this is not all about finances. Now, if we're honest, when you finish writing time there, I want you to all look up at me. How many of you would be honest and agree to this? Because I'm raising my hand ahead of time. That most of my time is about what? When I get up in the morning, the rest of you think it's sinking in. Y'all slowly start raising your hands. If we're honest, my time, from the time I get up in the morning until I go to bed at night, and then even some of you dream about the stuff you're going to do, my time is about me. That I'm going to intentionally share my time. Your time is a huge resource. And it's mostly about us. Now let me get to home, and this may be preaching to the choir. For those of you here, for those of you who are listening online, it applies to you too. What do you do with your time on Sunday morning? What do you do with your time at the church? Because a lot of us, the church has taught us in general, big church has taught us to make Sunday morning about me. I hear this a lot. That was so good. I'm glad I came to church. I got fed. I'm so glad I came to church. God bless me. I'm so glad I got to church. I got to. Or I get. What if we just changed our mentality to I'm showing up to church today and I get to be intentional about what I get to do for somebody else? It's time for some of us who've been around a while who aren't serving on a dream team to get on a dream team. For you to be intentional about holding a baby. That there's somebody right now next door holding a baby so mama can sit in here and hear about Jesus. And hear about a God who loves her. A God who loves her just as much as he loves anybody else. Or there's greeters in the hallway, ushers. There's people in the sound booth. There's people doing kids church. It's time to give of your time, and we be intentional about helping people find their eternal purpose and their eternal life. Making Sundays about helping people define Jesus, not just seat time, S-E-A-T time. Not some, you hear some Christians or some pastors say it's not just punching your card on Sunday. I know when you get your pilot's license and you're flying, you have to earn a certain number of hours, and you have to spend what they call seat time. You have to, if you're getting a commercial driver's license at some places, you have to spend time in the seat. It's about me getting my time in. Well, let me tell you something. Being generous is not about you or I getting our time in. And I've had to guard myself, even about Sunday morning standing up here, if I think about God, I just got to get in, get my time in, and then I can relax this afternoon. That's just wrong. I'm going to be intentional about my time, because when I'm intentional about my finances, my resources, when I'm intentional about my time, then the third thing you have to be, and I have to decide this just like you do, you have to be intentional to share Christ. It's not just going to happen. Now, there may be the occasional time that you bump into somebody at Bilo or you bump into somebody at the restaurant and God does something to allow you to present Jesus. But you have to be intentional about it. You have to decide. If you're blessed to know Jesus and you're blessed enough to talk about him, that's a good place for you to amen. If your life is blessed enough to be saved by Jesus and understand that saving grace, and you're blessed enough to talk about him, to be intentional about talking about him. We as a church try to help you do this. One of the things, and I'm going to give you three here real quick so you can plan and you can be intentional about doing this. The first thing is next week we actually start At the Movies. All right, the movie series is not for you. I hope you all enjoy it, but let me just tell you something. It's not for you if you're a member here or if you've been here or if you know Jesus. This whole intent as we lead up to Christmas time is for you to give somebody an opportunity to come join you. They may not come to a church, but they'll come see a movie. They may not want to, and the movie helps us get them in the door. We simply take movies and take the biblical truths out of them and pull those out and then insert and teach people about Jesus. We use the world's, quote, creation to introduce people to Jesus. That runs the 3rd, 10th, and the 17th. The next thing coming up, we're this year, with Christmas falls on Monday, so Christmas Eve is on Sunday, we're going to have our main Christmas service on the 24th at 10 o'clock. Invite people. People will come to a Christmas service. Special music, a special time that morning, the whole nine yards. Invite people. Use it. This year, we're actually doing a Christmas Eve candlelight service. 1 hour on the 24th. Invite people. They'll come. We are being very intentional about weaving the gospel. Sad you have to say this, but you do. Weaving the gospel back into Christmas, into our Christmas service, so we can talk about, people can come thinking, I'm just coming for a Christmas service so my neighbor will shut up and leave me alone because I'll go, so my aunt, my uncle, my mom, my dad will just leave me alone because I'm going to come to church, and then they meet Jesus. We're going to be intentional about sharing Christ. A great opportunity for you to invite a family to join your family. And don't just call and say, hey, just come if you want to. Call and tell them, hey, I'll meet you in the parking lot, or I'll meet you out by the blue desk, or I'll meet you out by the coffee, and we'll get some coffee and come in and watch a movie together. Be intentional about it. Be intentional about your resources, be intentional about your time, and be intentional about sharing Christ, the goodness of God and what He's done for you. You know, as we're focused in this series, and we're finishing up today, on being rich toward God, being generous, the Bible is very clear. When we are rich toward God, that there's an end result, and the end result is people praise God. In other words, people come to know Jesus. We're not just giving so that we can say we give, or we just make God proud of us. We're giving with an intent. And honestly, Jesus in the Bible is very direct about this. And I think, and I'm certain that I can do much better, but as I do better, I believe there's a larger impact on our families and our friends and our community. But look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, and most of you probably have heard this before. The Bible says, don't store up for yourselves treasures where? On earth. Wesley and I were talking about this the other day, even about Christmas. Everything has become about gifts, money, me, my. You know, we even try to teach our girls that Christmas is not about you. Christmas is not about how much stuff you get. But it's not about this stuff here on earth. Why? Because you can't take it with you. Where moss and vermin destroy is simply for us saying, I've never seen a U-Haul towed behind a hearse. You can't take it with you. I don't care who you think you are. I think I've told this before here, but I heard it was a joke, but it was about a very wealthy man who was just stubborn and wouldn't give anybody anything. And when he wrote in his will to his wife, he said, when I die, I want to be buried with everything I own. She agreed to it. So at his funeral, that before they closed the casket, somebody saw her walk up and take a check and put it in his casket, and then shut the casket. And she told him, good luck if you can cash it. What was she saying? She's like, the intent was, you can't take it with you. Go ahead, see if you can cash that check. Even this man was so calculated, he wanted to be buried with it all, thinking he could do something with it. But you can't. Don't worry about the things here on the earth. That's not our focus. Where thieves and people break in and steal your stuff, or they don't return your tools. Look at verse 20. It says, but store up for yourselves, where? What? Treasures, where? In the next life. In eternity. Where things can't destroy it, where thieves can't break in and steal it. See, we make it about eternity. We store up for ourselves things with God, things in eternity. Look what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12. I must not have put it on there. I'm sorry, Bucky. I'll give it to you. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he says, and he told them this parable. Most of you have heard this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded abundant harvest. In other words, he had more than he needed. He thought to himself, what should I do? Now, wouldn't you like to have this problem? What am I going to do? I got too much stuff and nowhere to put it. This is America. How do I know it's America? Because we pay people to keep our junk in a storage locker, right? We get so much stuff, we don't have anywhere to put it, so we go and find somebody who builds storage units, and we pay them to keep our stuff. Stuff we don't even know what's in it, but we got to have a place for our stuff. So here's this rich guy. He says, listen, I've had an abundant harvest. I don't know what I'm going to do with all my stuff. He's got too much. He's got excess. Then he gets smart and says, this is what I'll do. I'm going to tear down all my barns, build bigger ones, and that's where I'm going to put all my stuff. And then he says, and in verse 19, he says, I say to myself, you have plenty. He had this great idea. You've got plenty of stuff for plenty of years, so why don't you take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry? You see, this is the wrong idea. Because the wrong thought was that he has extra time. And there's one thing that's equal about all of us. Whether you've got $1 billion in the bank or you've got $1 in the bank, you've got 24 hours in the day. You don't have extra time. The Bible even says of tomorrow, tomorrow's not a guarantee. So do today. Worry about today. Then God says to this man, he calls him a fool. He says, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? In verse 21, it says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. This is how it'll be for those who are not rich toward God. God called him a fool not for being rich. Again, God doesn't mind you having stuff. God called him a fool for not knowing what to do with his riches, not leveraging everything he has for an eternal impact. There are going to be a lot of people, and some of them Christians, that stand before God, and God's going to say, I gave you so much influence. I gave you so much finances. I gave you stuff to leverage so that people could spend eternity with me, and you didn't do it. It's not in a heaven or hell issue. Your salvation, their salvation, if they have received Jesus, is secure, but they didn't do it. It's sad when you think about that. Rich toward God only happens. And I think I gave you this one on the text. Rich toward God only happens when you know that life is not really about this life, but it's about the life to come. And because I know this, because this life is preparation for the next, because of that, I will value. Because of that, I will value stewardship over ownership. Because I'm understanding that life is not about this life. My life is about eternity. Your life is about eternity. It's about how you use the stuff that God gives you, not how much you own. Some of us want it. It's all about what I own, what I can get, what I can hold for myself. Here's kind of the way I look at it. And maybe this will help somebody. None of it's mine anyway. Sometimes we argue and people argue with you about tithing. I can't believe God wants 10%. Well, I think that's just the wrong way to look at it. I think the way you look at it is that God lets you keep 90%. He's given it to you anyway. It's not mine. And my intention, my desire is that I manage God's stuff like a manager. Like a manager doesn't own the store, he runs the store. And I do it in the way that makes God happy, that pleases God. And that's about people, that's about being intentional about eternity, and about pointing people to him. I manage God's stuff the way that makes him happy, according to his purpose. And because I know life is not about this life, I will value people over possessions. This is the big one for us. Value people over possessions. It's a little harsh, but it's truth. People, possessions burn, but people are eternal. They last. Possessions, they're eventually going to burn up. People are eternal. We have to see that generosity is not just about a bucket going by. At the end of our services, when we take up our offering, I challenge you, don't see that as a bucket going by. Here's my duty. I'm being generous. My heart's right. Because being generous is not about just the bucket and offering. That's a person's life going by. That every person matters. Every name matters. Whether we have 10 in here or 1,000 in here, every one of us, every person that sits in that seat matters to God. And God wants eternity first and foremost for them to be secure. That bucket is not just a bucket. It's someone like you, maybe at one point, who had no hope, who had no way out, who couldn't see how any life could ever get better. Your marriage is falling apart. Your family falling apart. Life, maybe last Christmas was that way for you. This is not going to be any time of fun and excitement and joy. This is misery and angst and hurt and pain. That when the bucket goes by, it's not about just putting money in it to satisfy the way I feel, but it's about, God, we need to invest in somebody's life. There's people who are hurting. There are right now in the U.S., in the Atlanta area, girls who will not have a Christmas because they've been sold into sex slaves. In Atlanta, 30 and 40 men a day. Right now, there are people, let's bring it a little closer to home. There are kids who, when we go on Christmas break, will have to look for food every day. There are, this is why I was so excited. I really didn't even know about the AMI thing until just yesterday. There are 14 or 20 boys, I think, out there who have nobody. Who are in the foster program, who have nobody to come do Christmas with them, no family. You've got an opportunity to take a tag off the tree, to serve on the Christmas, that Christmas party for them, and take these 14 boys and show them that there is a God and that He loves them, and that more even above that, that you love them. And if you don't think people respond to it, I'm telling you, you're wrong. Any of the guys who just got back with me from Honduras will tell you, we said a lot of stuff, but everywhere we went, we would tell those kids, listen, you got to know that there's a crazy bunch of us in America, in Georgia, that love you, and that you really need to understand that. And you could just see the kids' faces light up. Right, Kim? Because there's this need, and we're meeting it. And some of the need is just simply to feel loved and cared for. People over possessions. People that we can help take their one step that changes eternity. Look at this last verse. The Bible says in Philippians, it says, for as often as I've told you before, now I tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies at the cross. Verse 19. Their destiny is what? Destruction. Why? Because they're focused on the wrong things. They're focused on the wrong stuff. Their God is their stomach. That means that they simply ought to feed the need. And I'm going to tell you, none of us are immune to this. I think sometimes we read this and we think, oh, they're talking about those people who are sinners. Those people who don't know. No, I think, Christian, we fall into this trap. When something's new and fun and fresh, I've done it. Just this year, Bob and I have laughed, and actually he and Melanie probably have laughed at me more than anything, but this is the first year in probably 15 years that I decided, hey, I want to get away some, so I thought, what better way to do it than go into the woods and shoot stuff? So this deer season, I decided I was going to start deer hunting again. But it's hard for me just to go, I'll go one day this week. I'll go one day next week. No, like, I'm all in. Like, I want to know where we're going, what's the plan, how, you know. And when I don't see anything, it bothers me. Like, it's not acceptable to go in the woods and spend 3 hours sitting there and see nothing but trees. You know, and I'm not a bird watcher. I'm not going into the woods to watch the birds. I don't care about any of the other animals. But see, if I'm not careful, I lose my focus of my daily life. It becomes more about my possessions and what I'm doing than it is about the reason we get up every morning, the reason the church is here. It's about people. And if I'm not careful, I change, my destiny begins to be focused on the stomach, my stuff, my flesh. And then the Bible says, and your glory is going to just be in your shame. Why? Because you're not going to have anything left. Because you can't take it with you. Their mind is set on earthly things. Look at this in verse 20. It says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we what? We're waiting on Jesus. What is he saying? He's saying this is about eternity. It's not about your stuff. It's not about the things that you know that God's given you and you just hold on to, because that's not why he's given it to you. It's about people. And it says we eagerly await a Savior because our citizenship is in heaven. And because I understand we're waiting on our Savior's return, because I understand that this life is not just about this life, I will value, you need to value the eternal over the temporal. I'll value the eternal over my stuff. And I'm telling you, this has to be intentional. I've got one more thing I want you to write down, so don't put your stuff up just yet. This has to be intentional. You can't just one day it's going to happen, and one day I'll decide, one day I'm going to be generous. And matter of fact, it can be a little scary. And I'm going to tell you this, and I don't, please hear my heart. I don't tell you this to say, look at me, look at Melanie, because if I'm honest, well, the story I'm about to tell you, I was terrified. Probably, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago, that a little guy that was in, actually reminded me a lot of Sam. When we gave Sam the car that time, I teared up thinking about him and about what we did about 14 years ago. Guy just graduated high school, he's actually a police officer now up in Augusta area, I think is where he is. He was here in town, and he wrecked his car. And at the time, Melanie and I had two little four-door cars, and her car was a 1986 Dodge Colt. It was a mean machine. Four speeds that would go nowhere. You had to turn off the air conditioner to go uphill. We drove that car from California all the way to Sylvania. It wouldn't make it. Packed to the rim. Melanie drove it like this because we had so much stuff packed in it she couldn't lean back. The car was just never going to die. We loved that car. It looked shaped like a trash can. Square and ugly, but it went. And I'll never forget one day when he told me he had crashed his car. And I honestly can't remember if it was Melanie who came to me or me to her. But she said, we got to give him our car. And this was years. I said, we can't give him a car. It's like, and my mentality was, again, we ain't rich. I don't have a lot of stuff. Back then, I was making like $250 a week. I said, I'm not rich. I don't have anything. She goes, no, we need to give him our car. And we were obedient, and we did. And I believe, on a side note, God's blessed us for it. But I learned something about being generous. Had nothing to do with the car. And I think if you ask the guy today, he will remember it. I don't know the eternal impact, but in my judgment, it was about his life, the people, not the possessions. Guys, if we can change our thinking to leave this possession, it's about my stuff, and I'll give God a little bit, and some of us have this attitude, I'll tip God, and begin to think it's about people. How can I affect people's life? What can I do to sow into people's lives? How can I bless their lives? Because I'm going to give you what is, before he puts it up, don't put it up yet, I'm going to give you what I think is the greatest deterrent for generosity. The single most reason that we struggle as Christians on this earth with generosity, and this is it. That the greatest deterrent of generosity is this illusion that this is home. That's why we don't do it. That's why, and I will right there with you. And there's nothing wrong with remodeling your house. There's nothing wrong with driving in a nice car. There's nothing wrong with having nice clothes. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it's done under the illusion, I need to make myself as comfortable as I am now because I got a long time to be here. No, you don't. And in the generation that we're living in, Jesus could be here in the morning. With what's going on in the world, it could happen anytime. I'm convinced of that. Generosity has to do with eternity, not this earth. Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes real quick? There, you know, some of us in the room that just struggle with that. Just as a, take a private moment, you and God. God, is this me? I don't share this message with you to, we're not trying to bump our numbers up because I believe if we do what God's asked us to do when we're just pre-deciding, we're deciding to tithe, we're deciding to be generous, we've got nothing to worry about. Everything will be paid and covered and we'll have more than enough so we as a church can bless our community. But Father, I thank you for those of us who may be struggling with this, that you, Father, show us the love that you've given us everything, the love that you have for the souls who aren't going to spend eternity with you, the love that you have for the people who are struggling, maybe as they hit the Christmas holidays and they're thinking about a way out, maybe a way out of the life for good. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts. Your word says if we ask you for wisdom, you'll give it to us. And God, I ask you now for just divine wisdom. Divine wisdom on my stuff, how to be intentional in my resources, my time, be intentional to talk about you, Jesus. I thank you for that now, Father. Now, there may be some of us in the room, you say, Clint, you're talking about eternity, but I don't have eternity myself. I've never met Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've never, or maybe you have and you've walked away from God. Just for a second, with every head bowed, every eyes closed, if you'd say, Clint, I need to make that right. I need to make my eternity right. If that's you this morning, then just wave at me. I want to pray with you. There's a couple. Anybody else? All right, let's pray this together. Say, Lord Jesus, today I make it right. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I confess it with my mouth and I believe it in my heart that you died for me. You rose again for me. You came for me. And I receive it now. In Jesus' name. Father, help me to serve you, to give away everything you've given me. Help me, Father, to see people like you. In Jesus' name, amen.